This call is being recorded.
Thanks. Okay. So what would be the topic, Sebastian?
The topic is ontology discovery and multiple API documentation links. They're very tightly related in our scenario.
Okay, so I've typed the topic on the IRC channel. Okay, so my understanding is that we have an imaginatory or not, let's say single page application that consumes multiple APIs. Am I correct?
It depends on your definition of API. Maybe I can explain the specific scenario we have that might give an example. What we have is a data marketplace. That data marketplace have multiple data sets that you can purchase things from. Each data set has a whole bunch of different type of data that you can purchase. And those have, for example, a value property that is different for each of them depending on the type or the RDF range. For that specific type. Those volumes are quite large in the sense that an ontology may contain, 100, 150 different types. And each of the, so everything is in the same namespace, it's all in the same API, but behind the scene, we have multiple data providers, each of them implementing a bunch of data sets. And so the issue we're encountering right now is, typically, a client would go and start purchasing data, and it would get back, let's say, 10 different, what we call variables, which each have different types that are specific to that data set. So what we do is, for each of those data sets, the types are defined in their own context document. So we provide, or we will, in the next iteration, provide a list of context documents, each defining the terms, so the URI that describes that type, and some information that we can describe in line. But the context document only provides us with the term information. So we need to retrieve the additional type information so that the client can load this up and know names, descriptions, inner data types, that kind of additional metadata that is at the level of the type. So right now we have an API documentation that has a bunch of supported classes, which could be a good candidate for us to load up that type information. So basically, client sees, oh, I don't know that API documentation, so I'll go and load it up and read the various things in it. And from that, I'll be able to fill in my schema information, right? So we can discover new schemas, load them up into the client based on what the client uses. That's kind of the TLDR. So what we've settled on as a design currently is to say, well, there's no reason why we need two documents, one for the API documentation and one for the term definition. So what we do is we have only one URI that describes, that has a context node in it that defines all the terms, JSON-LD style. And then within that, we have the API documentation content. So the definition of all the supported classes within that. So we reuse the same document. Now the difficulty we have with that is that there is nothing in the specification that says that you can retrieve type information on a per request basis. What I mean by that is that the first issue we're encountering is when you go to the specification seems to indicate that you discover the API documentation, and there shall only be one when you query something at the root or you go to the entry point or whatever. So the link discovery assumes that there is one API documentation for the whole API, and that it will always be the same one based on all the responses you have. Now I need to be able to load up the schemas. Well, I'll call them schemas for simplicity, but I need to load them up based on the responses I get to my purchase request, not at the startup, because otherwise I would just force people to download megabytes and megabytes of data before we start anything. So the first issue is the spec kind of hints that there's one API documentation and all the requests will always get the same API documentation because there's a single one. The second issue is there is no definition whatsoever of what happens to if you provide multiple API documentation links. It's not forbidden, but there is in the spec that would hint for library developers that, hey, maybe there were multiple links and of them. It's undefined behavior, and as we know, undefined behavior is not great for specs. The third one is there is no the API documentation supports Hydra defined sources. Sorry, my mum is calling in now. Then when she get hung up on, bless her heart. Doesn't understand phones, but the difficulty is if I describe a class inside an API documentation, it automatically has the hints that it is a resource that can be addressed or that can be identified, because I can't just add an RDF class to the supported classes inside the API documentation because the type is a Hydra one. And so if I use reasoning, it means that everything now has potentially a URI that can be dereferenced, which it may not have. So I'm giving an RDF class a note to upgrade to a Hydra
resource.
If it's a Hydra resource. But uh-huh. And I don't know if in considering it's called supported class, I'm wondering if the range shouldn't be extended to just go all the way to RDF. Because if you use a reasoner and you mm-hmm. have an RDF class and I add a supported operation that's defined by Hydra, it automatically becomes a Hydra resource.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all the issues that our scenarios have uncovered where we're doing it this way, but I don't think anyone else would or does.
Okay. So which issue should we start with?
I mean, maybe the last one should be least contentious, because I think it is quite close to what we started recently.
Yes.
Let me check the. Let me quickly bring up the issues or the pull requests where we did actually relax some of the ranges, right?
We did relax the range of returns and expects from Hydra class to Hydra resource. So it is actually possible to have something not RDF-ish.
Right. And then from what we discussed, personally, that's a step forward. And personally, I was kind of also hinting on the same thing. So relating to all of the non-RDF payload thingies, issues and discussions, that would be like on I think similar to what Sebastian just mentioned. So not only accept, but then for supported operation. To allow
is it supported operation or supported class?
No, I think I wouldn't suggest that supported operation would change range. I'm saying that if you use a reasoner, if supported class, instead of being a Hydra class, which is a Hydra resource, if it mm-hmm. was just an RDFS class or an RDFS resource,
mm-hmm.
we don't by having supported operation on the thing inside the supported class, it automatically becomes a Hydra resource. And I'm happy with that.
Okay. Of course, this part of the specification was designed by Marco, but Marcus is not here. We are here. My understanding is that we are describing an API, and by saying that this API supports a given class, it also means that the client can operate on instances of this class by means it can create it or modify it. And in terms of specifically HTTP, it would probably end up on putting something which requires an URL. And by this means, the instances of this class should be Hydra resources, something that can be or could be dereferenced. So this is my understanding of this specification part.
So
I find it quite tricky, losing it a little bit towards something less strict.
So in that case, so for example, I have a resource, a Hydra resource, that will support an operation, and that operation expects a by action, a schema.org by action. And that's got a resource because it's not dereferenceable. It's purely an RDFS class. Mm-hmm. It's just a data type described by a schema. Mm-hmm. My requirement is I need to be able to discover that schema without necessarily having a from the same entry points as I have through Hydra, because I need to be able to reason about by action. I need to be able to know what the data type looks like. And right now, I can't put it in supported class because it's just a data structure.
Yes.
It doesn't have any operation. It's not dereferenceable. I don't know where to put it. And there's nothing in the API documentation that would allow that.
Okay, let me just continue. From my perspective, what you want to achieve is just simple linked data. All you need is just to dereference this class URI or something, just to retrieve its RDF representation describing what is it.
That would be prohibitive because I've got 500 different types, so I can't do 500 requests to retrieve that.
I understand this one.
I don't mind doing multiple requests, but that's a lot of requests.
Yes, I understand. So I assume that all these types are from totally different URLs. I mean, these are not hash-based URLs.
Well, each ontology is a URI, but each of the types within an ontology is hash-based. So I can save a little bit by ontology, but I may have 200 ontologies.
Okay, I understand. So it's still 200 requests.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm always also a little bit... There's a lot of stuff that can be implemented in the Hydra client without understanding RDFS. And I don't want to break compact with people that have RDF reasoners. But from an implementation perspective, I'm just missing the discovery of those types without having to do a request specifically. Or if I do... then using a standard protocol that's defined in the spec, because what you suggest could work for sure, but a client developer might not implement it that way, and then a generic client will not load up the type information the same way as I do. And then we have divergence in implementation.
One more idea, because there is nothing that forbids you just to provide these ontologies within the payload that comes with API documentation. Still, API documentation is RDF graph. So there's nothing that forbids you to use IRI of a class in the expects or returns, and somewhere else in the same payload have the definition of this class.
Yeah, wouldn't I end up with an array of nodes instead of just a top-level API documentation, though?
Yes.
Yeah, That's making JSON developers, which I'm trying to target with a simple mechanism, just run amok.
but what's JSON LD does not prevent you from this. It may happen that you will end up with, let's say, an arrays of nodes rather than a nice single tree-like structure.
But it doesn't preclude, but a generic client that's Hydra based will not do that, and so I can't use the generic client unless I implement specific code specifically for my API. So I hear you, but maybe what I'm saying is maybe API documentation should have an additional on top of supported class and have supported something else that then can include, you know, all the other data types and schemas, which are just RDFS based. You know, I'd like to be able to show in my RDFS class definitions in the API documentation itself, because it would be part of the spec and client developer would know how to load these.
You could still use the whole class definition as a value of the returns or expects, but you will end up with multiplications of same resource if you are using it in multiple places.
Yeah, because if you look at schema.org, the problem is if you go and do your JSON LD query as a null ontology on the main, so they do that, right? We do that as well. They do that. You arrive and you load up the schema.org JSON LD document, and you have the graph of all the RDFS classes embedded, as an ontology. But now I need to support two ways of discovering classes: one for data types that are not resources, and one for resources which are in API documentation. It feels like something is fundamentally missing here in the spec, because I have no guidance on this, and there's no, if I go to developers that are trying to implement this stuff, and I go to the API documentation and look at the supported classes, and you can render the documentation for those data types, for those resources and their operations from what is in there. But if you want to know about the other types, then you need to use a null ontology, which is at this other URI. And you need to implement both, even though as far as developers are concerned, when they're trying to implement this stuff, it's one and the same thing. There's one thing that has a shape and properties and RDFS range and that kind of stuff. Some of them have operations because they are things you can resolve, and some of them are just data types, fundamentally.
I understand. I see a problem. I have no answers. Because these are somehow separate things. Something is different is to describe a data type or a data structure. Something is different to describe what actually can do, what the client can do with this data structure. And actually, supported class and supported properties doesn't have to cover all the properties.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, I know how to solve this stuff. I've got a prototype that works for us, but none of the other Hydra clients will do it. Mm-hmm. And so I can't tell people to use a generic Hydra client. So I'm stuck. I'm stuck into providing my own implementation for everything. And I think, plus, if you compare to all the other things out there, there's description of the hypermedia controls, but there's also a JSON schema that goes with it, right, in the other side of the rest world. But they are in the same spec. I mean, the whole of the open API, they're trying to get those two to talk to one another. So you've got one spec, one document, and now you understand how to do stuff. And that's something that we just can't provide, you know. I'd like to have one API, one document that tells me which things I can dereference, which operations are supported, and all the data types that I may want to render. And I don't know if you remember the catalog browser demo that I did, where I passed the link on. We render all the information about those data types in that catalog. That's the raw reason for this stuff existing. And there's no way for me to use that using Hydra. And Hydra doesn't, because there's no way for me to have a Hydra client that generically knows how to discover an RDFS ontology, or an R ontology, or whatever it is. And if it's not in a generic client, then I'm going to struggle making Hydra competitive to anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's a guidance document or a suggested approach or an extension to Hydra so that you can shove in. Maybe we need a. I know Hydra is supposed to declare only the hypermedia part of it, but I think it's a little bit. It's not entirely clear cut because we have supported property, which has a whole bunch of other bits in it that are schema oriented as well. You know, mm-hmm. I'm unsure.
Do you really need those supported classes? Can't you go just with ontological description of a data type or a class?
Oh, I can. I mean, that's probably what we're going to end up doing.
If the client does not have to know on how to operate with these instances by means you can put it here or you can post it there, etc., etc., I don't think you need supported classes at all.
Yeah, but it's still causing us some difficulties because we do have some supported classes in there because there's things you can manipulate. And mm-hmm. those supported classes rely on data types like a by action
mm-hmm.
that they receive to be able to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I take Heracles, how do I tell Heracles to go and pull those things and those descriptions so that Heracles could be used to render an API documentation, a browsable API documentation?
Currently, Heracles will focus only on supported classes and supported properties.
So I can go and embed all this stuff, but if I embed it inside my supported classes, if I embed mm-hmm. the definition of by action, now I've got one definition of by action that comes from me, and there's another one that comes from schema.org.
Heracles probably will just provide you with its API those defined in supported classes and supported properties. There is nothing that... Yeah, go on, Tomas.
Sorry, I wonder how general... I mean, it sounds quite general, but maybe those are closer to maybe some kind of well-known links so that you can link to the ontology information somehow. But I mean, we're back in the problem of not really, because you can still embed it. Maybe all we would need is really just a link, and then inline this ontological information in the API documentation, and then have generic clients understand it natively. Because if those are not really part of the hypermedia, they're just some additional stuff. So what's simplest, you just link to the ontologies that you would want something of, I don't know, a prefetch link. So that, okay, so here's the API documentation. You might need those ontologies, and they will contain the information about the terms that you use, which are not embedded, but you can still fetch them. And with H2, you could do HT push, for example. So have the ontologies or maybe parts of the ontology. So like a section of that of stuff that you really need, not the whole, like schema is not a few megabytes and some are quite large, right? So you don't want to push that every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hydra would define just a link property so that you could either prefetch them, just have the link itself, or maybe actually embed that stuff but really not mix it with the Hydra classes and the other descriptions.
But it still does not help Sebastian with the issue that he has by having two structured definitions, the ontology and the supported classes, supported operations. And I think there won't be an easy solution to this. But prefetching will save you some time on pulling all those ontologies, all those 200 links.
No, but then more importantly, I mean, you can still do the prefetch. That's on protocol level. But then to make it natively understood by the client, so that the API documentation requires you to or wants you to get some additional terms, ontologies, descriptions from somewhere else. The other thing that you said would depend on what you really need those RDFS classes or ontologies for. If it's something API specific, then it's up to you how you consume that stuff. Or maybe we can find some universal information that would be needed by any client.
Well, I mean, I guess one way that I could embed both them is by having as you were saying earlier, by having a set of nodes, as opposed to just return the API documentation as a top level, and have a set of nodes where the API documentation is the first one, and then embed all the other class definitions within the same document. But because that's not really expressed as a potential, and I mean, it's very close to what the HydroJSON-LD spec itself does and what the schema.org spec does, right? They don't use quite the same format, but I think if you render them to RDF, eventually they look more or less the same. I've researched that; I've forgotten half of it. But again, it's from a generic client perspective, I'm really concerned by anything that we can do, even though there's no hint in the spec that we should. You know, so if you define May, then at least client developers mm-hmm. have a hint that they should be doing it that way. Whereas if there's nothing defined, it's not forbidden because it's an open, you know, an open mm-hmm. assumption world. But no one is going to implement it the same way. And so mm-hmm. we will get ever further. So if API documentation, if the link to the API documentation, we could have the spec saying, and by the way, it may, as is allowed by JSON-LD, just be one of the nodes in a list of nodes, and the other nodes may be RDFS classes or that you may need or want to load up the schema for those types, then be aware that this is a known scenario that is not too broken or mm-hmm. something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Some let's say... A piece of paragraph within the specification giving some hints on how to proceed with additional details like class definition, properties, ontologies, etc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can do this.
I think it makes sense. It's, I mean, you focus on JSON-LD, although I always view, and I don't even use much that JSON-LD that much, especially not for the on the client end. Just maybe just for transport. So for us, it would just mean that sure, there's within the document you may have say one graph which is the API documentation node and its contents, and then you have the parts or maybe parts of the ontologies. Attached, or like floating nearby that you can also retrieve from that from the document. And I mean, so then once you frame your JSON-LD, you would essentially have, sure, you might have the top level array with whatever you got, but then if you just drill into the API documentation, it should be the exact same shape. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't need the other stuff, you discard it or you retrieve it and just put it in a separate bucket in a separate variable somewhere in your client. But it's not a big change to really just make note in the documentation that additional
Yeah, it's an informational part. Triples.
Yeah, additional triples can also be allowed. I mean, like you said, open world, no one really stops you. But yeah, just hint that the generic client should be aware of that and handle this. Mm-hmm. I don't see why not. But then it will also be, it would actually be interesting to give some hints on how, what kind of information would be useful and how to really use it. And that's something that I would really love you to provide a more, like a simple, my cohesive example, but which touches like the full spectrum of your needs. So what you would actually need this additional ontological information for. Because I feel like I guess I will discover some of the same, I may have mentioned in the past, some of the same issues, like missing pieces somewhere, and maybe you are onto the solution for that.
Well, we have, in terms of timelines, we have another week and a half, 2 weeks on the current iteration. The next iteration is productizing all this. So we'll be live in about 4 weeks with this, because I need something. So we'll just have to figure out something that doesn't break too much anyway. We need to move forward. So we'll have a first draft of implementation of how it looks like for us once we've actually built it, to make sure that it's actually doable. So at that point, we'll be able to share an experience report on that, and maybe we can figure out how to. Have to get some knowledge and learnings on that.
Okay. I mean, so we could definitely immediately and start with the addition of that informational, the API documentation document can have additional triples. It can return more than just the API documentation, and so that we make generic clients aware of this. But yeah, I mean, anytime, because you already have the grand idea, it doesn't have to be exact code, but maybe just the concept of you know why you need it and how your clients need the additional information. I'm quite interested to see that. What problems do you solve?
Yeah, sure. I think I'll be able to show some code once we've settled on that at the next telco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
And the last thing is there's the multiple links to API documentation, because basically we'll have one link per context document, which is also per API documentation, which is basically per ontology. And so what we will be doing is that each response may have will probably, so that's the thing, in the response I would only include the API documentation that are useful for the current response. And I would have all the API documentation links at the root of the API, basically for documentation browsers only, because the documentation browsers need everything, but the client only needs the ones that are loaded by the context, basically. Because if I don't use the API documentation link, I end up, you know, those will be linked as a context document for the current node. They'll be cached. But at that point, I lose the capacity to say, and by the way, you can find RDFS classes or the documentation itself in there, because I don't have the link between the two, because context document content just goes.
Here's what I was just telling Carol before you joined. I have maybe slightly different, but also I was just thinking about the multiple API documentation links in a scenario where I do have an application, a single page app, which combines, exposes functionality from multiple APIs. So I was giving an example of a book API. So you get a book resource and it links to a collection of reviews, but those reviews, that collection actually lives in a separate API microservice, if you will. So that book API has its own API documentation, and the reviews API has its own API documentation, right? So I would not want to have the book API describe. I would not want to have the book API documentation describe supported operations of the reviews of API. Doesn't make sense, or creates duplication and potential consistency issues, right? So the solution would be to have either always give two API documentations, or just keep all of the API documentations that you found within the application and somehow combine those supported operations, for example, so that I got the entry point for the books, I got the entry point for the reviews, I got two API documentations, and then when I find in any resource representation links and resources from different APIs, I look at all the documentations to figure out what I can do. If that's somehow similar.
Well, that's exactly the scenario we have. Like we have resources that define their own resources, and then we have other services that actually attach or implement methods for an external resource that they don't define. And then currently we have to do this kind of backward approach of having to spin up the service that has externally defined operations, loads that up from console, and then generates that to send it back to pretend that it already knows about this. So we have to embed this it's a mess that I would rather have distributed, so that each service just says, "Oh, by the way, this is what I have. I don't own the postal address resource, but I actually do own the purchase operation on that resource. You know, why define it anyway?"
Right. The good thing is that this. Yeah, that sounds like it would not be a breaking change for LCS, and I probably. Now that I think about it, I probably would want, I mean, maybe I can start implementing this application specific, but I think I might hit walls within the client itself, because unlike Heraclius, from what I heard, a given resource is like in the objects, in memory structure of the resource representation and all of that stuff, the client builds on top of it. It is kind of coupled with its own API documentation that came linked with it. So that would have to be a little bit decoupled so that the client keeps track of all the API documentations it came across and then just use all of those descriptions for the operation and stuff.
I think that's the only thing with multiple API documentation is the fact that our client is going to load them up on demand. So if you see an API documentation you've not seen within a resource, you know that there's additional info in there that you should probably append and aggregate. So that the view of our client will just aggregate more and more API documentations as it navigates them. That's the current plan. The difficulty, which we don't support that right now anyway, but the difficulty is later on at the beginning of the year when we rebuild our data catalog UX, we will need to be able to discover all the API documentations that are available. And then at that point, from a genericity perspective, if the client goes to the root of the site, then if all the API documentations are there, it's going to try to load all of them, because it would be a different code path, because it would be the same code path as if it got API documentations from postal address /123. And so we end up with this undefined behavior of, how do I tell an API browser the list of all the documentations without my generic clients that just points at an API and starts loading stuff up as it happens, being needed, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. So what I do, I have a single entry point for the entire application, which all it does is just link to, because I control all of the APIs, so it just links to the entry points of the few, it's just a handful, right? So to the few APIs, I don't know, so I get the entry points so that from that I build the initial UI and stuff like, you know, the main top-level navigation menu, which is then static, pretty much. I mean, could change, but for now. So it just takes the links found in all of the API entry points, and that's really it. And then those entry points will come with the API documentation, so I already got them. It's not like I will be discovering them as I go. But of course, this is a application-specific choice. But I mean, any other way might give weird results where you, at some point at your application, because you browsed only part of all of your APIs, you discovered only some of the operations. And then as you click through the application, some of the operations suddenly appear. So that's kind of weird. Yeah, you definitely want that stuff to be either you hard code the play or like somehow configure the places that you want to get your API documentations and you just get them early on in the application, or you just have multiple links to multiple API documentations. I don't see those are equivalent from what I can tell. But then, of course, we would need to specify both behaviors as equivalent.
Yeah, so that's the difficulty is there's a difference between here's the list of all the API documentations that exist for this server, and these are the API documentations that are required for you to understand the current document. Because one is server-wide, and what's that? My washing machine vibrating. Okay. One is server-wide, those are all the API documentation. The other one is document-wide, those are the API documentations you probably want to load up to understand the types of them. And so, because it's two different use cases, one is the dashboard scenario, or the browser scenario, and the other one is the hypermedia client scenario. So there's a couple of ideas that I can think of that are abusing preload link rails. But this is very much tied to the fact, yeah. I'm wondering if it's not trying to shoehorn two different things into the same link relation.
I not necessarily. So the preload or prefetch, that's one thing, but then the relation I think is the same because you. I don't think you can really draw a line between, like you said, the API documentation needed for the specific representation and then the API documentation describing anything else. Because if you link to resources, if you use link relations from other API documentations, or you link to types, then you know that stuff is like a class which is defined by another API documentation, that right away, you need to combine those API documentations to figure out all of the operations. I think it only makes sense that if you have multiple API documentations, you're always looking at any resource from any of those APIs. You always look at all the API documentations to really gather all the information that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I could make the generic client consider. Okay, so. Would it be breaking anything if you get the API documentation link, I do a link rel equal preload to the same URI, but then the client has a little bit of behavior, say, well, you know, as soon as you're instructed by the server to load an API documentation, you automatically load it. I guess that would be within the specs, because that solves the problem, right? I point my client to the root, it only loads the root ontology, which defines the entry point and the hydro types, etc. But if there's no preload, it won't go and fetch it. And then as I move through the API, it already knows about those API documentation URIs. It didn't bother fetching them. And then for that specific document, two of them will be required. So I'll make them preload, which means that the client will go and download them if it doesn't know about them, load all the API documentation supported classes, add them, and then pass the document. I think that would work, right?
Yeah, I think it would.
I need to write up a little spec. You know what? For the next telcon, I'll write a little spec because it will be useful for my team as well. I can see that working.
Can I have a word of explanation to you, Sebastian?
Sure.
Because you've mentioned that server instructs client to load the API documentation. I think there is nothing in the specification that actually can instruct client to load it.
Oh, I'm talking about the preload rel type, the one that's used in,
okay,
in browsers.
Okay, I understand. But preload rel type actually will... Is it possible to provide multiple rel types to a link?
If you provide multiple rel types, it just creates multiple links, one per rel type. So I would have the same link with two relationships.
Rel types. Okay.
Yeah. They're independent links, but you know.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly enough, yeah, because there was a trivia question on the channel a while back from, was it Mark Nottingham? That's saying, what happens when there's a link with two rels? But in web linking, I'm not sure if you can have multiple rel values, which would save a little bit on the wire, I guess. But it's all compressed now, so who cares? But I'm just looking.
Yeah, I don't think it's doable.
That sounds like homework because we are.
Yeah, we are
already past. But I think we got some. Good pointers for what we can do.
Yeah, some stuff to think over.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for
No worries.
Enlightening conversation as usual.
Glad to hear that. Okay, so we'll try to come with this specification informational paragraph that you ask for. I hope.
Oh, I just.
Yeah.
I just read the web linking, and the ABNF relationship type does allow space separating multiple values.
Okay.
Yeah, I just found the same thing. The rel parameter paragraph section 3.3. The rel parameter can, however, contain multiple ring relation types, which then, when then occurs, this occurs, it establishes multiple links that share the same context, target, and target attributes. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, feel free to drop any examples you would like us to consider. And we'll try to come with some kind of solution that will, I hope, help you with your work.
Awesome.
Goody goody. So I think that's enough for today. We're quite over time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Dan. And we'll be in touch.
Okay. Have a great night.
Mm-hmm. Have a great night. Cheers and take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.